very much. What a good song. I hope you bought into that thought, that God does everything well. He's always good. He's always right. Can we say it together? God is always, and He's always never made a mistake. He's way too wise to be mistaken. He's very good, too good to be unkind. And He does all things well. Even whenever you feel frustrated and disappointed and things are unfair and not the way we'd like them to be, let's take God off trial. Let's trust Him. And let's believe good things about Him, because that's the kind of God that He is. James chapter 1, let's begin reading, if we can, please, in verse number 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And read verse 18 with me, would you please? Of His own will, that we should be the kind of first fruits. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, verse number 22, 23, and 24. Read that with me, would you please? Verse 25, the Bible says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Our Father, please, I pray, we have a short time to share a wonderful truth. Help me to do it appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. I sure love you. So glad and appreciate your participation and the great spirit you've already brought to this new year. The book of James, once again, the thought is grow up. Let's get mature. Let's mature. And there are 12 things we'll talk about in this semester that will show if you and I are mature, or will help us grow to be mature. The first thing that we talked about is problems, issues, persecution, tribulation, trials. He says, count it all joy when you fall into divers tribulation, different kinds of problems. Of course, our sweet friends that are on their way home today, they have a very unique, diverse problem. They didn't know they were going to have this problem a month ago. But now it's their problem. It's their trial. You have troubles. You have trials. Some of you, today's a good day for you. Yesterday's a good day. This season's a good day. But if you keep breathing, you're going to come in some trials. And they're common to man, but they're unique to you. There's not anyone who has any kind of problem today that no one else has ever had. One of the things I sat with our friends yesterday, I said, listen, you need to know, first of all, that millions of people have gone through what you're going through right now. And God has helped them. And some of them, He's helped them even though they don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. They don't have church families. They don't have a college. You're going to have a lot of help from God, but you're not the only one to go through a problem. And that's true. So when you go through problems, there's three things we learned in a previous chapel. Number one, we praise God for what He'll do through the problem. Number two, we pray for wisdom in the middle of our problem. Number three, we persevere through our problems. When you have a problem, you can't get out. Your first impulse when you have a bad day, you have a bad situation, a hard time, is to exit out of your problem. And God does not want me to transition out of my problems most of the time. He'll let me transform through my problem. So I got problems. I want to get out of my problem. I want to get out of the pain, out of the difficulty. I want to exit out of a problem. That's not a good idea. What you need to do is let God transform you through your difficulties. And that's His plan, is transformation, not exiting. However, that's just one thing. Now we're going to a second thing that God uses to give you spiritual strength and to make you spiritually mature. And all of us would want to grow up. And that is our relationship with the precious Word of God. Listen, if you don't have a good Bible, get one. And many of us, we have several Bibles. But find one and really say, you know what, I want this to be my friend, at least through college. And maybe for years. I've got a Bible that I've had since 1995. I can't believe it. Next year will be 30 years. I love that Bible. It's been with me on different mission fields. It's been with me on lonely nights. It was the one I read when I found out my son passed away. It was the one I preached from hundreds of times. It was the one I taught Sunday school lessons from before I was ever a pastor. And it's the one I remember sitting under a lamp one night and seeing all the bugs in the lamp. And then I was reading while I was sitting outside and saw that thou art my portion forever. I thought, oh man, I about got up and started shouting and hollering and holding my Bible up and there's no one there but me. You know, and I thought, this is good. That's good. God's my portion. He's going to be with me. I can never go anywhere without Him. Get a good Bible and have a relationship with your Bible. There are different thoughts. I think about the Scriptures. I think about a poem. Though the cover is worn and some of the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look in this precious old book, many pleasures and treasures I see, many trophies of love from the Father above who's nearest and dearest to me. This old friend, it's my guide. It's like a friend by my side. And it will lighten and brighten my way, and every promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and I heed it each day. See, what you do with the Bible is going to determine what God does with you. And this is God's revealed Word. So He reveals. I hold in my hand the inspired, preserved Word of God. God inspired it to us. He gave it to us. We're so blessed to have the Scriptures. And I'm glad we have it in the King James Bible. Especially, I was witnessing to a guy the other day, and he said, I can't understand that Bible. And I said, well, how about if I just explain it to you anyway? He goes, oh, that's I understood everything you said. You don't need to change the Bible. Let the Bible change you. Believe it, love it, use it. Make it your friend and challenge yourself in this area. Well, James says, here's what's going on. He's going to go into a section. He says, if you're going to exercise maturity, you have got to have a relationship with the Bible. Because the Bible doesn't change. Politics change. Pastors, we change. Pastors and leaders come and go. There used to be men sitting on this platform, and now they're pastoring churches and other places. And in a few years, these men will not be here. Someone else will be there. Some of you may be on the platform in a few years. Leadership comes and goes. Opinions come and go. But the Bible is eternal. It's immutable. That means you don't change it. And the next section, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. He said, don't mess up on this one. Don't mess up on the Word of God. He said, first of all, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. Now, that verse, I've used it and I agree. Everything I have comes from God. The sun on my cheeks, the food that I've eaten, the mobility that I have to walk around the platform, the intelligence that you have to connect the dots mentally or to listen to what I'm saying and articulate or to listen to the articulation and process it. That all comes from God. Your mom, your dad, your upbringing, your bill, your dorm room, everything comes from God, yes. But in specifically, this verse, I believe, is talking about your Bible. Where does your Bible come from? Well, in the Old Testament, Isaiah 55, verse number 10, the Bible tells us, as the snow and the rain, they come down from where? Heaven. And they water the earth and cause it to bring forth and bud, and so that they'll have seed for next year for the farmer to throw out to make more of that. And you'll have food for this year, food for the eater. So shall my word that cometh forth out of my mouth will come down from heaven. And it doesn't land on the soil of the ground of terra firma. It lands in me. It lands in you. And it will accomplish that which He wants to accomplish. And it'll, you'll come forth with joy and peace and singing, all the benefits of a relationship with the Bible. But I think he's talking about the Bible because he says here, without there's no variableness nor shadow of what? So the Bible stands. The Bible's true, and every man is a liar. So it isn't change. And don't change your Bible. Don't be caught up in finding other versions of the Scriptures. And certainly don't stand around arguing about that. Especially at your stage of life, you need to close your mouth and listen and obey and read your King James Bible. Quit trying to correct everybody else on that. You need to take it and accept it. Believe it and take it. It doesn't change. The Word of God is the Word of God. Then I would say, the next thing the Bible says, what does the Bible do for us? Number one, it brings redemption to us. It brings us to salvation. The number one reason for the Bible is so you can get saved. You can't get saved without the Bible. Look, if you would please, at the next verse, would you? 18, read it out loud with me. Of His own will begat He us with, that we should be the kind, the first fruits of His creatures. Once again, everyone who gets saved has to have faith. Where does faith come from? Faith cometh from hearing. And hearing by? Yeah, you got to have the Bible. So He says, you know how you got saved? You got saved because someone showed you the Bible. And the Word of God gave you faith. None of us have ever seen Jesus. We've never seen heaven or hell. But we believe in those things. Why? Because someone gave us the Bible. I've witnessed to atheists. I've witnessed to agnostics. I've witnessed to Jewish and Islamic people. I've witnessed to Hindu people that don't even understand anything about it. When they see what the Bible says, while I'm talking on the outside, the Holy Spirit's talking on the inside. The gospel tells them. He said, now how you get saved? You get saved with the Word of truth. The Word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. That's what brings about salvation. So the first thing, we have to have the Bible to be saved. No one gets saved without hearing the Word of God in some way or fashion. No one gets saved without the Holy Spirit meeting the Word of God. There has to be those two combinations. You have to have the Word of God, and you have to have the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible teaches that to be the case. No conviction, no conversion. Can you say that with me? No conviction. You can tell someone the Word of God, but unless the Spirit of God brings conviction to their heart, there is not. But He uses the Word of God to bring the conviction. So that's why when you go soul winning, you are giving people the Bible, because that's what brings about the new birth. That's one element. It's kind of like a man and a woman coming together to have a baby. Okay, there has to be two to make that happen. The Word of God and the Spirit of God come together so that we can be born again. So the first thing for the Bible is it gives us eternal life. It gives us the new birth. It makes us a child of God. Look at the next verse, verse number 19 and 20. Wherefore, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to what? Well, another verse number 20, this is a great verse for all of us to underline and commit to memory. Ready? Say it with me. For the wrath of man. Okay, the righteousness of God is revealed in the Word of God. And you'll find this, if there's one word that you could say, that I could say to you, you could say to me, that would tell us what the Bible says, it's righteousness. It majors on righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His. Oh yeah, the fruit of the righteous tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. Why we go sowing? Because it's right to do. What is the kingdom of God? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And righteousness is the person of Jesus Christ, but it is what God majors on. He said, if you're angry, angry people do not receive the Scriptures. They don't receive it. They don't listen good. Some of you will struggle in school, in the ministry, because you've got anger issues. You're mad at your brother. You're mad at your mom. You're mad at your dad. You're mad at what happened to you. You've let something create a bitterness inside of you. And bitter people, angry people, struggle to get it. And the Word of God has to be received with meekness, not with anger. Listen, the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man and with a furious man. You don't want to go that way. First of all, they don't listen. But also because you have to keep delivering them over and over again from this bout with anger. Some of you have that. You don't have to have it. The Bible says, put aside anger. Put aside wrath. Put aside malice. So anything God tells me to do, I can do. Anyone says to me, I just can't do that. You can do anything God wants you to do. I can do all things through. If He's with me, I can do it. I can forgive anyone I need to forgive. I can overcome anger. I can overcome addiction to pornography. I can overcome addiction to whatever. God can help me. I don't have to live a crippled life because I can't. You can't, but He can. He can help you. And the Word of God is given to us. He said, now, the Word of God brings redemption, but it also has to be received. And the next verse said, so set apart all superfluity of naughtiness. I think we can just agree that that means filth, sin. When our heart, our ears are plugged up with wax and we can't hear, you're not going to receive it. There has to be a continual cleansing of your heart to receive good truth. You cannot have a head full of knowledge and a life full of sin and be productive. You're going to have to deal with sin. Sin has to be dealt with every day. I have to deal with it today. I ask the Lord to forgive me of something today as I was driving out to the campus this morning. If God brings something to your heart, you just quickly confess it. Say, I agree with you, God. I should not have said that. I should not have done that. That was wrong. Please forgive me. Have mercy upon me. Why? Because you want to be able to have the Word of God. If what we do with the Bible turns what God does with us, we need to have the Word of God. And we can't receive it unless we open up the channel of that. Filthiness. Superfluid. And receive with meekness the engrafted Word. And last thought I'll give to you today, which is able to save your souls. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. He said, I want you to receive with meekness the engrafted Word that's able to save your souls. Now, let me just help you real quickly. Listen to this. Every time you see the word saved or save in your Bible, it doesn't mean save from hell. Save from your sins that will send you to hell. Now, of course, the verse in Romans chapter 10, where the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord, name of the Lord shall be saved. So we're talking about eternal salvation there. But if you make every word, every time you see the word save in the Bible, go to salvation, you're going to get screwy in your theology. Here's another case in point. Like in 1 Timothy chapter 2, whenever the Bible tells us that about how that men should pray and how that women should pray. And he says, let the woman learn in silence and not usurp authority over the man. And then it says, like Eve, Adam was first formed, and then Eve. And Eve was not in transgression, she was deceived. And then it says, but a woman can be saved if she would bear children and keep a family. Only people that have babies can be saved? No. To me, she's saved from the potential deception. When she stays under her biblical role, when she stays in her lane, if you will, please. You can be saved not from sin, not from hell, but from being deceived like Eve was deceived. And the same is true with this, but he says the Word of God is able to save your soul because we believe that God saved us in that previous verse. We're born again. We're begat by His Word. But we're saved from, what saves our souls. And once again, what is our soul? It is our mind. It is our feelings. It is our desires. Your mind, your will, your emotion. Your thoughts, your thinking, your feelings. How many know this, that your thinking about things can change? Your feelings about matters can change. Some of you, you've dated 17 people. And you thought you were going to marry all of them. But things have changed. Your feelings have changed. You know, because our soul is somewhat fluid. It's kind of up and down how things go in that situation. And you know what your soul needs? Not only to be saved from eternal death, it needs to be saved from messing up. Your thinking, your feelings, your desires. And do you know what will help you save your souls? Keep you from thinking wrong, feeling wrong, desiring wrong? The Word of God. Is receiving the Word of God, letting it go. You know, when you come to chapel, if you listen and you have a heart ready to listen, and some of you don't. Some of you got too much stuff on your phone, too much stuff going in your ear and your eye gate, too much filth going in between your blue or your brown eyes. There's too much junk in there. You can't hardly. You're hearing the same message everybody else is hearing. It's just not ringing your bell. And some is because you're not able to receive it. And our next thought we'll have on chapel is responding to it. And then the results of a relationship. So it's there for our redemption. It's there for us to accept or receive. We have a response when we hear it, being doers of the word. And then there's results. We'll talk about that in another chapel. Let's pray together. Ask God to help you this morning, wherever you are. We're going to dismiss momentarily. Would you just pray right now in your seat and say, God, please help me to have a real relationship with your word. If you're here and you're not saved and you know it and God knows it, you need to be saved. If you're saved, you need to say, God, do I have a readiness to receive your will? Can I receive your word with meekness? Are you angry? Are you bitter? That's going to hurt you from hearing the Word of God. Do you have that filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness that's clogged up your channel of reception? Once you say, God, that's true in me. I don't want that. I want my thinking, my feelings, my desires to be affected by your word. Father, thank you for this beautiful group of young people on this special chapel. Bless them, encourage them, and help them to have a right relationship with Jesus. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.